Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Nation, welcome back to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're on air from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight. Rocket is here with you, and we got a lot of ground to cover. We got the NFC talk. We're previewing the NFC conference, much like we did in the last show we did a week ago where we talked about the AFC and yours truly made his predictions. Well, tonight, I'm going to do the same thing with the NFC. Also, we got coverage of the official 2014-15 NBA schedule being released And we're going to have some interesting games to kick off the season and some interesting matches on Christmas Day. So we're going to talk about that in the show. We also got MLB coverage. And yours truly, Kimoni, an upcoming stage play that I will be taking part in called Soul Custody, which will be at the Abundant Life Christian Center in Detroit, well, the Detroit Redford area, Grand River, 7 mile over by that intersection. On Saturday, August the 30th, we got two shows. We got the 3 p.m. show and we got the 7 p.m. show. So I'll be plugging that a couple times throughout the broadcast. Anybody who's interested in theater, anybody who wants to come and see the show, I think you'll definitely enjoy this one. I've yet to rehearse with the guys. I'm actually going to be rehearsing with them tomorrow for the first time. So I'll be working with some guys I've worked with before and some people I'll be working with for the first time as well. So this is going to be excellent. And I'm looking forward to it because I think this is going to be so much fun to do. I had been out of theater for over 2 years. So this will be great for me to kind of get back into it a little bit. I got another play that's coming along the way. We're doing an installment called The Color Black. It'll probably be out maybe September or October. We're still kind of planning the dates and still kind of working more details. But we're going to make it happen because that's what we do. I also got two movies coming out. One of them called The King with my friend and comedy mentor Dave Lando. That will be out next month. If you haven't seen the pictures, you can go to the movie's website. You can also check my information out on Facebook. We just upgraded a picture of what the DVD cover is going to look like. First week of September, we're going to make it happen. So I'm looking forward to it. Also, I have a short film that's going to be coming out from the Motion Picture Institute School, MPI for short, that I took part in. I actually did another MPI film which went straight to YouTube. This one will be shown at the Imagine Theater in Novi. So I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, we got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm looking forward to it. We got preseason action. We've got games of week one that already went down. So I can't wait for the season to kick off. We're actually about 3 weeks away, if I'm not mistaken, about three and a half weeks away. Let's get it going. And we're actually 2.5 weeks away from the start of the 2014 college football season, first college football season under the new playoff format. So I'm looking forward to that. So with that in mind, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking a lot here on the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
my baby, what a lady, girl. Your knee along, oh, this your soul, you're so fine. From everything that you wear, your kind of beauty is rare. And I swear you get better looking with every year. It's your sexual peak, your full figure physique. Young girl can't compete, come cook your new something to eat, baby. And since we in the kitchen, girl, let me get that muffin. You look better the older you get. Every chapter, getting more attractive. My biblical box is in my safety dash. Ladies, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm about to eat that stuff. You look better the older you get. They wouldn't believe me.
Breakdown, 7:15 p.m. We're taking calls at 347-327-9586. Before we really dig deep into the show, I want to take this opportunity and send a special prayers and condolences to the families and friends of Robin Williams, who was someone who I considered a mentor, even though I never met the guy, but he was such an inspirational figure to me as a comedian, as an actor, as a performer, as a great entertainer. He was certainly one of my favorites, and I've had so many of his movies I've enjoyed watching. I couldn't even tell you which my favorite was. I would say Jumanji, but there was just so many of his that I grew up on. He was part of my childhood. He was part of my life and childhood, and he was one of those inspirational figures that led me to being the upcoming comedian and actor that I am today, and I owe a lot of that to him. And it's a sad loss, it's a tragic loss, and my thoughts and prayers go out to his family at this time. I also want to send a special wishes to all my local people. We had a big rainstorm that hit here these last couple nights. Actually, the last 40 hours has been pretty bad, especially amongst friends or people I know, everybody living throughout the east side of Detroit, and even East Macomb County. It's been pretty bad from what I've been told. I haven't really been out that way lately, as far as like this week is concerned, but I heard that people couldn't even get into the their homes, like, without having any some sort of water, like 2 to 3 feet full of water right when you walk in your door. Basements are flooded and destroyed. Streets are destroyed. People lost their vehicles because you couldn't drive in those conditions. And not every car is built to withstand those certain terrain. So, unfortunately, a lot of people lost out on some valuable, precious items, and it was just unfortunate that that sort of thing had to happen. So, my thoughts are with those people at this time. And I pray that things get better. Definitely get better. It's just been, it's been rough. These are scary times we're living in, and I just want to take this opportunity and reach out to those and give them my regards, my condolences, blessings, prayers, the whole nine. And again, my apologies that these things happen, but you have my prayers and thoughts at this time. On a happy note, we got some birthdays to pass along, so let's get to those real quickly. Happy 24th birthday to DeMarcus Cousins, who, he's been one of those upcoming talents amongst the NBA. He turned 24 today. He basically is a one-time All-NBA first, NBA All-Rookie first team. Consensus second team All-American 2010, first team All-SEC, All-SEC rookie team, and the SEC rookie of the year in 2010. So far, he's averaged a career of 17.9 points per game, 10.2 rebounds, and 2.4 assists. This past season, he averaged 22.7 points per game and 11.7 rebounds to go with 2.9 assists, 1.5 steals, and 1.3 blocks. The guy is an upcomer. He's had some issues as far as his personality and attitude, but a lot of NBA players have gone through that. He's not the first. He certainly won't be the last. And when he has his head on straight, he can be one of the better guys at his position. He spent his entire career so far with the Sacramento Kings. He was the fifth overall pick in the 2010 draft. He's on his way up. He's on his way up, and I think he could get guys to motivate him to play better. And I think he has that capability to do that, and I hope he does. So, happy birthday to him, and best wishes to the Sacramento Kings this upcoming season. I have no idea what this team is going to do, but it seems like they're kind of heading in that right direction, trying to get back up from ground zero, but they still got a lot of work to do in that Western Conference, that competitive Western Conference. So best wishes to the Sacramento Kings this upcoming season. Happy 44th birthday to Elvis Durbass, former quarterback in the National Football League. Spent time with the 49ers, the Chiefs, played 1 year in Baltimore before retiring in 2002. He was actually a Super Bowl champion with that 49ers team that won it back in 1995. He's actually played quite a bit during his time with San Francisco whenever Steve Young was out with an injury or a concussion, or when they was trying to protect him and they allowed Durbass to play, and he did have some success. He actually played a total of 16 games with San Francisco in 1995. Five of those games he started, recording a quarterback rating of 96.6 that season. He came over to the Chiefs as the starting quarterback in 1997. That year they had a 13-3 record, but they lost a heartbreaking game at Arrowhead Stadium to the Denver Broncos, the eventual Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, and played there a few years before leaving in 2001 to coming over to Baltimore. He was actually the first guy in NFL history, the first quarterback to replace a Super Bowl winning quarterback the following season after they won the championship. But the 2001 season was a disappointment for the Ravens. They lost to the Steelers in the postseason, and Durbass was pretty much out of the NFL. He was a one-time Pro Bowl selection in 2000 with Kansas City, probably his best season as a pro. won the Super Bowl with the 49ers. He was an NFC champion, an AFC West champion in 1997, two-time Rose Bowl winner at the University of Michigan. And he set a few milestones with the Kansas City Chiefs, including career for most touchdown passes in consecutive games with 15 from 1999 to 2000. Most passes completed in a single game, and the all-time Kansas City Chiefs records, which is 39 in that 2000 game against Oakland, where he actually threw for over 500 yards, threw for 504 to be exact. Ends his career with 99 touchdowns, 81 interceptions, 16,774 passing yards, with a 79.6 passer rating. Happy birthday to him, and many more happy returns. Happy birthday to former tight end Charlie Sanders, who I know personally. I grew up watching old footages of him throughout his time with the Detroit Lions, played there throughout much of his career, played about 10 years. He was a seven-time Pro Bowl selection, two-time first-team All-Pro, one-time second-team All-Pro, three-time first-team All-Conference, two-time second-team All-Conference, the NFL All-70s Decade Team, and he's also part of the Detroit Lions 75th NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team. 336 career receptions, 4,817 receiving yards, and 31 touchdowns. Currently now, he's the pregame and halftime show co-host and sideline reporter of Detroit Lions preseason games on the Detroit Lions Television Network, Channel 7, locally, for those of you who didn't know that. I actually saw him on the sidelines in last week's game. I'll get to that a little bit later in our show, but I did see him. He's doing his thing, living in great health. And this team is trying to go in a different direction now. You don't have William Clay Ford Sr. for the first time. He's no longer here with us. So you have a new coaching staff. You got some new weapons to work with. You got new additions on defense. It's all or nothing this year for this team. It really is. And like I said, I will get to that as I preview the NFC later on in this broadcast. The way I look at it, I just kind of feel like this is going to be an interesting conference as far as who I think is going to win the whole thing, because I don't think it's going to be easy if you're Seattle. And we got one more birthday to pass along. Happy birthday to former NFL running back Michael Bennett. Some people will say he was probably a disappointment. Some people will probably say that he never really lived up to expectations because he didn't really have a long lasting career. But when he played, he was pretty effective at times. I will say he was pretty effective. The guy had a great burst of speed. He came out of Wisconsin. I remember watching him closely at the University of Wisconsin. I said, wow, this guy might be the fastest back in football, and he might be one of the fastest backs to ever come out of the NFL. Now, he spent his much of his career with the Vikings, the team that drafted him. He was the first-round pick, the 27th overall pick. Played there from 2001 to 2005. Spent some time with Kansas City, Tampa Bay, San Diego, and finished his career in 2010 with Oakland. In 2010, he was elected to the Pro Bowl for the first and only time of his career. He ran for over 3,703 yards, 4.4 yards per carry, 13 rushing touchdowns, 1,294 receiving yards, averaging 8.1 yards receiving yardage a game, and 6 receiving touchdowns. So he only had 19 total touchdowns in his career. But the problem was, throughout his time, because this is a guy that was supposed to be the replacement, apparently, to Robert Smith, who shocked everybody when he retired in 2001. 2002 was by far his best season. He ran for 1,296 yards that year and had 351 receiving yards. After that, he just beat up a lot. And then the Vikings ended up cutting him in 2005 due to just the continuous amount of injuries and his inability to carry the ball consistently. Because the guy did fumble often. The guy fumbled. He had some problems with that. But other than that, he never really lived up to expectations. Is he a big bust? No, because he was a late first-round pick. But if you consider how fast this guy was at the University of Wisconsin and how fast he often looked at times with the Vikings, you would think, wow, this guy can be good in this league. But injuries, lack of being able to carry the football consistently, a lot of those things factor into what was a disappointing career for the guy, unfortunately. We are now approaching the 7:30 hour, at the 7:30 portion of the show. We're going to take another quick break. I shouldn't say quick, you know, but I like to emphasize that word sometimes. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NBA releasing their schedule. We got some MLB games to update. And our main event topic, previewing the NFC. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back.
I got a fence full of-
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is 7:40 p.m. and we're on air until 9 p.m. Sorry about that. We're taking calls at 347-327-9586. And as you all know, the NBA just released their schedule. It actually took place at 6 p.m. Earlier today on NBA TV. And we got some crucial games that's going to be starting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to what the NBA is going to do this year. And I think that it was good for them to do this and get this out of the way right now so teams can start kind of matching up with against each other. And you all know every team plays each other in the NBA. We all know that. But sometimes every year with moves that are being made, it just makes certain matchups much more intriguing. So this will be the 69th season in the NBA, and I can't wait. I can't wait. I cannot wait to watch this. This is something I've been waiting to see. Now, as you all know, LeBron and Cleveland, one of the games I'm looking forward to is Cleveland against Miami on Christmas Day. That is going to be a big matchup. That game will take place December 25th, Christmas Day. We also got my favorite player ever, Kobe Bryant, coming back October 28th. He hasn't played a game since December 17th at Memphis, where he suffered a left knee fracture after recovering from a torn ACL. He'll be 36 next month, though. And Byron Scott, who was actually one of his former teammates when Byron Scott was at the end of his career and Kobe Bryant was at the beginning of his, Byron Scott will be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers this year. He's not going to have Pau Gasol against him. He's going to go up against a former nemesis in Dwight Howard and the Houston Rockets on October the 28th. November 19th, Jason Kidd returning to Brooklyn for the first time since he left to take the head coaching job of the Milwaukee Bucks. That game will take place November 19th. And considering the way that whole situation was or went down, it's going to be pretty ugly. I think that they are going to, fans of Brooklyn are going to let him hear about it. That's going to be more intriguing to that matchup. Very intriguing. Also, another game I'm looking forward to. January the 31st, New Year's Eve, Kevin Love returning to Minnesota after being traded to Cleveland and that whole situation with Jermaine Wiggins and Anthony Bennett. The trade won't be official until August the 23rd. That's next week, folks. In fact, that's next Saturday. So, let the games begin. The Clippers will have a new owner this year. So, when the NBA season kicks off, they will take on against one of their top nemesis in OKC, the team that beat them in the playoffs last year, which I think the Clippers were kind of distracted with that whole thing, and I think overall they did lose a little bit of focus. And I think that was one of the contributing situations that led to the Clippers' demise, unfortunately. But that's going to be an intriguing matchup because it's going to be a new ownership, meaning you're still going to have Doc Rivers, you're still going to have Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, the rest of those guys. And rightfully so. Rightfully so, because Doc Rivers had threatened to leave and, you know, rumors speculating that Chris Paul was going to demand a trade and all that other stuff. Good. The ownership being sold was announced officially as of yesterday. So if you're the Clippers fans, Clippers brass, anybody associated with the Los Angeles Clippers, you do not have to worry about Donald Sterling no more. Move on from that. Done deal. Also, we got LeBron James returning to San Antonio on March the 12th of next year, the place where he played his final game in Miami. Well, final game with the Miami Heat. So LeBron returning to San Antonio, the scene of the crime, as far as the NBA Finals is concerned. November 19th, also, we got Lance Stephenson returning to Indiana. He signed a three-year, $27 million contract with Charlotte this past offseason. And it's funny because the Pacers offered much more money. They offered him 5 years and $44 million. Wow. And he turned that down. He definitely turned it down. The one person you won't see is Paul George in this matchup, unfortunately. He's expected to miss the entire season. We're talking a 9 to 12 month recovery after having his surgery, by the way. How sad. A very talented player. This is something that could derail him for the rest of his career. Now we have to see what Derrick Rose is going to look like, too, so that's going to be something to be of interest. And another matchup I'm really looking forward to, it's kind of underlooked, but it's going to be intriguing because of the way that the whole situation erupted. February the 10th, 16 days before yours truly's birthday, my birthday, Rocket, Lionel Hollins returning to Memphis after being let go 2 seasons ago after getting the Memphis Grizzlies to the Western Conference Finals for the first and only time in the franchise's history, and they elected not to bring him back as a head coach. How stupid was that of the Memphis Grizzlies organization? Yeah, I said it. It was stupid. And now that Jason Kidd was let go of his duties as the coach of the Brooklyn Nets, Lionel Hollins will take the center stage wearing the suit and coaching this team. And he's going to have some guys to work with. So don't count Brooklyn out this upcoming season. Yeah, they don't have Paul Pierce no more, but Paul Pierce, that's in his career. Still got other valuable pieces on that team to work with. So it's funny because Lionel Hollins, since being let go, basically compared Memphis to the Stone Age, saying people there move slow, they talk slow, and they drag their words out. Ouch. Ouch indeed. I cannot wait. And I don't really watch. I'll be the first to say I don't get a chance to watch the NBA a whole lot because I'm so busy, especially during the spring, the summer, and the early parts of the fall. But I will be tuning into that matchup. I promise you. I promise you I will be watching that. Now, also other notable games, we got the ABC's first Christmas doubleheader of the season will take place on January 25th. We got Cleveland and Miami, of course. January the 25th, we got Miami against Chicago, and we got the Thunder in Cleveland going at it. So we're going to see LeBron and Durant going at it. TNT's doubleheader on March 31st features a rematch of the 2014 finals in the first game with the Spurs taking on Miami. The second game, it'll be Golden State against the Clippers, two bitter rivals, another one of the Clippers' nemesis. The Wizards, coming off a trip in the second round of playoffs for the first time since 2005, will take on Cleveland November 21st on ESPN. And both matchups between San Antonio and Cleveland will be televised nationally. First game, November 19th, as we talked about already, and then March the 12th on TNT. That first matchup will take place on ESPN. TNT will televise the Lakers and Kobe Bryant as they travel to OKC to take on Kevin Durant and the Thunder on March the 24th. November the 12th, we also are going to have a game between November the 12th, we're going to have the T-Wolves and Rockets take place. So there's a lot of interesting matchups that you guys might want to, if you're a big basketball fan, you should really be looking forward to it. NBA TV's doubleheader on January the 5th will feature Anthony Davis in New Orleans. Nice to see them get some exposure a little bit. Hosting the Washington Wizards and the Thunder visiting Golden State Warriors in the second half of that doubleheader. And in its 31st year of NBA coverage, TNT will televise 53 regular season games, including 19 Thursday night doubleheaders. They also will televise the 2015 NBA All-Star Festivities, which will take place in New York, February the 13th through 15th, commentating with the NBA's 64th All-Star Game on Sunday, February the 15th. ESPN, meanwhile, will televise 75 regular season games, including 39 on Wednesday, 28 on Friday. ESPN telecasts are also available via Watch ESPN, with nearly all on ESPN Mobile TV. Good. The NBA on ABC and ESPN NBA TV present flexible schedules throughout the regular season in order to provide the most compelling matchups, which will take place this year. So get ready, because I promise you, it's going to be a show. It's going to be a show. I promise you. basically, to start off, the season will take place on October 28th as opposed to the usual Halloween or October 30th. Like I said, we got the TNT doubleheader. We got the Spurs that will be taking on the TNA eliminated, well, I should say barely eliminated in the first round, Dirk Nowitzki and the new-look Mavericks at 8 p.m. And Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers will take on the Rockets in the second half of that doubleheader, as we already talked about. ESPN begins the 13th consecutive year of NBA coverage with two doubleheaders during opening week. Wednesday, October 29th, we got Derrick Rose in Chicago taking on a guy they went after during the offseason, Carmelo and the Knicks. That should be interesting. Phil Jackson, former Chicago Bulls head coach. So that should be, that should add a little fuel to the fire a little bit. And then the second game, we got Kevin Durant traveling to take on LaMarcus Aldridge and the upcoming Portland Trail Blazers, assuming that they can keep LaMarcus Aldridge when he becomes an eventual free agent next year. And he's going to demand some money, I can say that right now. Opening week continues on TNT on Thursday, October 30th, with Cleveland and LeBron James' first game back with his original team, hosting Carmelo and the Knicks. And I will say the Carmelo-LeBron matchup, you know, sometimes it just doesn't get any better with those two guys. Two physical players, despite both of them both losing weight this offseason. But those two guys going head-to-head, it's always a fun matchup to watch. Say what you want about either one of them. I'm a big Carmelo fan. I respect the game. I respect LeBron's game as well. Bring it on. Bring it on. It's going to be big. So we got these matchups that are going to be taking place, man. And NBA TV will begin its 97-game schedule with three games for an opening week, including two games Saturday, November 1st, where the Minnesota T-Wolves with Al Kemmerle will host the Chicago Bulls, followed by the Golden State Warriors and new head coach Steve Kerr hosting the Los Angeles Lakers. That should add a little fuel to the fire, too, because that was the team that Kobe Bryant got injured against a couple years ago. Wow. Bring it on. And then on Sunday, November 2nd, you got the Knicks hosting the new Charlotte Hornets. And guess who their owner is? Exactly. Exactly. So, with that in mind, are you going to be ready for basketball? Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. Well, coming up, we got some baseball games to talk about, and we're going to talk about the NFC. And some of my predictions may shock a lot of you, so you might want to really seriously pay attention, because I'm a little biased, but at the same time, some of my picks may raise some eyebrows out there. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back before you can say National Football Conference.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. They call the Ghostbusters and the End Control. Had a throwing party for a bunch of children. Well, all the while, the crime was under the building. So they packed up, regrouped, got a grip, came equipped, grabbed their proton packs on the back, and they split. Spun out of our beagle, the match of evil. Try to battle my boys, that's not legal. Yeah, I think with, grab the proton packs on the back, then they split. Find out about Beagle, the match of evil. Try to battle my boys, that's not legal. They're in control. Get out it.
Well, I guess we're gonna have to take control.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is 8 p.m. and we got some baseball coverage to talk about. So we got some games that are currently in progress right now. My hometown team, the Detroit Tigers, are currently tied at one apiece with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Both teams played the last two games in Pittsburgh. Now they will play tonight and tomorrow night in downtown Detroit. The game is currently in the bottom of the third inning. The Yankees are currently up 2-0 on Baltimore at the top of the fourth inning. They have runners on first and third facing two outs as we speak. The Arizona Diamondbacks and the Cleveland Indians are both scoreless in the bottom of the second. Cleveland has one runner on with a couple outs. Washington and the Mets are both scoreless in the middle of the fourth inning. St. Louis is currently up 2-0 on Miami in the bottom of the fourth inning. We have the Dodgers up 2-1 over Atlanta at the top of the fourth. And we have San Diego up 3-2 at home over Colorado in the top of the fifth inning. We do have a few games that went final today. We had the Boston Red Sox defeating the Cincinnati Reds by a score of 5-4. Boston got off to a fast start, scoring the first two runs in the first inning. Both hits were recorded by Daniel Nava and Mike Napoli. And they held on to win after Cincinnati tried to hang with them. Pretty much the final four innings were both scoreless, so Boston actually held on to win. Anthony Renuto got his second win of the season. He's actually 2-0. Mike Leake is now 11-1. Edward Muika, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his last name right, got his third save of the season. Also, earlier today, the Minnesota Twins defeated the Houston Astros 3-1. Minnesota actually scored one run in the sixth inning, which was a home run by Joe Mauer. That's actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's his, that's his 30th RBI of the season. I think that's his third home run of the season. Kyle Gibson got his 11th win of the season. He's now 11-9. Glenn Perkins got his 30th save of the season. Houston only managed to score one run in the bottom of the eighth, but it wasn't enough. We also had the Cleveland Indians. Actually, we got it's a doubleheader today. So Cleveland won the first doubleheader over Arizona earlier today by a score of 3-2. Arizona actually led early in this game. In the sixth inning, and then Cleveland came back to win. Cody Allen got his fourth win of the season. He's now 4-2. This game was made up due to being postponed yesterday due to weather-like conditions. And you don't have to remind Rocket anything about weather conditions. And earlier today, we had the San Francisco Giants defeating the Chicago White Sox by a score of 7-1. The Giants scored all seven runs in the seventh inning. It started with Joe Panic reached on the fielder's choice, which scored two runs, and then Angel Pagan singled to shadow left, which scored two runs. Hunter Spence also recorded a single, which scored one run. Buster Posey recorded an R&B single. And then Pablo Sandoval, on some sort of error. He was safe at first on right fielder Adam Dunn's fielding error, and then Hunter Pence and Buster Posey both scored. Jake Peavy got his first win of the season. He's 1-3. But how about that? The Giants scoring seven runs in one inning. That's pretty impressive. Later tonight, the Tampa Bay and Texas Jets tipped off. That game's in the top of the first inning as we speak. We got Oakland and Kansas City. They're getting ready to face off each other in about 5 minutes. Later tonight at 10:05 p.m., we got Philadelphia and the Los Angeles Angels. And then tonight at 10:10 p.m., we have Toronto and Seattle. And currently right now, you can check out your local listings for some of the games that are currently on. That Yankees and Orioles game is currently airing on ESPN. Now, moving on into the whole NFL talk as far as like the NFC preview. And I kind of did this at the last minute because my schedule's just been so busy. I've been doing a lot of comedy shows lately. I did a show last night at Cunningham's Brewery out there in Warren off of Mountain Road between 13 Mile and 14 Mile. First time I've ever performed at that place, and it's going to be my last because apparently they're going to be shutting down the place next month due to scheduling conflicts. So first time I've been in that area in so long. I hadn't been over there maybe once or twice in the last month or so. I also did a show at the Mix Studio Theater in Ypsilanti on Sunday, so I've been really busy with a lot of these shows, and I'm going to be even more busy when you add in the upcoming play rehearsals that we got. I got a rehearsal tomorrow, and I got a rehearsal on Friday. We postponed it last night. I didn't need to be there, but they postponed last night's rehearsal because of the weather conditions. It is so bad in Detroit, y'all. It's so bad anywhere on the east side of Michigan, mostly. It's bad. It's really, really dangerous. So if you're out there driving, I advise you to be safe. Please, please be safe. Take it easy. Basically, just to give you a quick run of what's going on with week two of the preseason, because it's going by so darn fast, I can't keep up with nobody, evidently. Basically, what's going on, we got a lot of matchups, a lot of interesting matchups, whether, you know, starters play a handful of minutes or not, as far as like snaps or quarters or whatever's going to happen. Week one was a very interesting preseason. I got a chance to finally watch the whole game between Cleveland and Detroit, and I got to give Johnny Manziel commend. He played well, but he didn't play with the first team offense, and that right there is what a lot of people are still waiting to see. How is he going to look? Because going up against Detroit's front line, if he had started, oh, they would have went after him. They would have taught him a lesson, in my opinion, in my estimation. They would have got after him. Brad Boyer didn't play all that bad either. I remember he completed 6 of 14 passes. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. Neither did Manziel. When it looked like he was going to be rushed, he was able to escape the pass rush. He was able to run first down. He was able to use his feet and scramble. But I don't think he's going to be able to do that a lot as his career continues, because teams are going to scheme against you. They're going to plan for you, and they are going to be watching extremely amount of footages on you just to see where you're looking to go, where your eyes are, where's your vision. Are you looking to throw first? Are you looking to run first? What is your thing? Now, you look at some of these mobile quarterbacks that have come out of the NFL. Some of these guys have been able to have success whether you studied against them or not. But does it last a long time? No, not really. I wouldn't go that far. But nonetheless, you know, that's part of the game itself. It's all about adjusting. So I expect him to adjust, but do I think he's going to have a great career? Get back to me in about 5 years. No, actually, I think he'll do all right. But he's going to need some weapons, and here's the thing. Not having Josh Gordon is going to hurt you. Now, he's been able to participate in the preseason, but he's not going to be able to play a certain amount of the upcoming regular season. If it were me, I would have suspended him for at least half of the year. 8 games certainly would have done it. Without pay, yeah, that would have certainly taught the guy a lesson. To kick off week 2 in the preseason, tomorrow night we got Jacksonville and Chicago. That game will take place 8 p.m. on ESPN. Friday we got Detroit at Oakland, San Diego and Seattle, Philadelphia and New England, and Tennessee and New Orleans. You can check out your local listings for those matchups. Saturday, we got a ton of games that are going to be going on. Green Bay and St. Louis, the Jets and Cincinnati, Baltimore and Dallas, the Giants and the Colts, Buffalo and Pittsburgh. We got a Florida matchup with Miami and Tampa Bay, Atlanta and Houston, and Arizona and Minnesota. And then Sunday, we have Denver and San Francisco. And on Fox at 8 p.m., we got Kansas City taking on Carolina. And then next Monday, we got those Cleveland Browns taking on the Washington Redskins. So Manziel is expected to start the first-team offense going up against RG3. If you think about it, Cleveland quarterbacks and Washington quarterbacks, that's what makes this matchup interesting. That's what makes this matchup interesting. So we got some intriguing matchups. That Denver-San Francisco game should be a good one, even though it's preseason, but we'll see how many of the starters play a lot of minutes, because usually second game of the preseason is not that much different from the first. Some starters still don't play. Some starters will play. Maybe they'll play up to one quarter. Maybe they'll play half a quarter. Maybe they'll play one or two drives, and that's it. You pull them, because the third preseason game is when your starters play a hefty amount of minutes, usually the first half, first two quarters, and then half of the third. Sometimes it depends. They'll play the first three quarters. It depends on how the chemistry is looking and what teams want to do and how they're trying to figure things out. And then in that fourth preseason game, basically what it is some starters will play like maybe one drive and then that's it. And then you pretty much know what your starters are going to look like. So yeah, that's pretty much the thing. We actually got some breaking news, and I kind of talked about this in the show that I did last week. Breaking news coming out of the golf department, and I kind of saw this coming, but Tiger Woods has informed Tom Watson and the PGA of America that he is withdrawing his name from Ryder Cup consideration. That back injury is killing him right now, and I don't blame him. You got to think with your head first sometimes, and in this case, pretty much, you think that you never would have expected the end. You always thought that Tiger Woods would play golf forever, but I think that the end is near. I think the end is near. I hate to say it because I don't want to come off as an unoptimistic individual as far as him not being able to play and not being able to participate in golf competition because it's what he loves doing. But at the same time, you got to think about your future and life after, and in this case, life after golf. So I think that him withdrawing from the Ryder Cup, or at least being considered from the Ryder Cup, is good for him. So that being said, the end is near. The end is near. This might be the last year we see Tiger Woods seriously play some serious, legitimate golf. And what a career it was. Despite the trials and tribulations we've seen within the last 5 years, he came back and tried to pick up where he left off, and he's had some struggles here and there. But I think that in this case, you got to think with your head first and realize, you know, it's not really worth it right now. I've accomplished all that I've ever wanted to accomplish. And I used to think that he's going to pass Jack Nicklaus and break all his records and all that other stuff, but I just don't see that happening right now, unfortunately. So for more information, you can tune in to SportsCenter on one of the ESPN stations. They'll be talking more about this, I'm pretty sure of it. But that's it. That's it. Also, getting back into football, I hope all you fantasy football folks out there are really starting to set your team. You don't want to do it just yet. You might want to wait another 2 weeks, but you certainly want to start planning and thinking about what the future of your teams are going to look like as far as the players you're going to draft. I had a lot of success last year in the teams that I had. I had a lot of players from both Denver and Detroit's offense. I had San Francisco's defense, Cincinnati's defense. I was able to do some things. So with that being in mind, it's almost that time too. So I'm looking forward to setting up my fantasy football team or teams for the season because I'm going to try and join more than one league this year. But getting to the NFC preview, and I had to really look at this a little bit. You guys are going to be shocked at the teams that I got going into the playoffs and the teams I got winning the division and teams that are not going to be in the playoffs as far as my predictions are concerned. Check this out. Basically, I got the six teams I got making the playoffs. I got Washington, San Francisco, New Orleans, Carolina barely, Green Bay, and Detroit. And not in that order, by the way. Believe it or not, I got Detroit at the number one seed. I think Detroit is going to be almost a certain reminiscent of Carolina last year. Carolina had a lot of success on defense. I think Detroit's going to have a lot of success, well, more of their success on offense. I think they are more than capable of dethroning Green Bay in the NFC North. They should have did it last year. I think they're going to do it this year because I think the coaching staff is better. They've added more weapons. I like the direction that they're going in. I watched the preseason game. I pretty much watched how that first team defense looked. They didn't give up a ton of big passing plays. They certainly didn't give up any touchdowns, and that's what you want. You don't want your defense surrendering points in the end zone. And at the same time, yeah, it would have been nice to see Calvin Johnson play. I don't know if he's going to play this weekend in Oakland because you want to protect him a little bit. But I can guarantee you he will play in that third preseason game, I promise you. But I got Detroit winning the NFC North. I actually got them going 13-3. I think their schedule is a little bit tough, but I do have them having a division winning record. I think they'll split with Green Bay. I think they'll sweep Chicago again. I certainly think they'll sweep Minnesota this time around. I got them beating the Giants in the first game of the season. I have them going to Arizona and doing what they didn't do last year and winning. I got them beating Atlanta. I got them beating New Orleans at home. That Atlanta game in London, obviously. I got them beating Tampa Bay, unlike last year. I do have them losing at Carolina. I do have them losing at New England. I got them beating Buffalo. But I just think that they got a tough schedule to wear. I think they could do some damage this year. I honestly do. So with that in mind, bring it on. Bring it on, because it's going to be a good season this year. Let's get it going. I got Detroit as the number one seed in the NFC. I got Green Bay making the wild card. I got them going 11-5. I have Washington winning the NFC East, and the reason why is I think they made the most improvements out of all the teams in that division this offseason. I know the Giants made a few additions and things like that. I know the Cowboys, they regress. Losing DeMarcus Ware is going to hurt them. Losing Sean Lee for the season is going to hurt them. That defense might not be any much better than last year. But, of course, you can't be worse. But I think that they could be potentially worse, considering they don't have any defensive stoppers. So what are you going to do if you're the Cowboys? So I think that's something that you certainly want to take into consideration. It's not going to be easy for them. It really isn't. I got the Eagles going 8-8, but I think for, you know, the two wild card spots, I think Philadelphia can compete with the wild card for a wild card. I think Dallas, with their offense, assuming Tony Romo, the health, what it's going to look like this year, I think that they could certainly compete for a wild card spot, but it's going to be tough. I also have Arizona, Seattle, and Carolina competing for a wild card spot. The reason why I got Seattle going 8-8, and this is probably another shock that's going to send shockwaves throughout Blog Talk Radio. But the reason why I got Seattle going 8-8 is because I think they're not going to be that much different than Baltimore last year. They lost a bulk of their players, especially on defense. They also lost Golden Tate. You have to wonder if the whole Marshawn Lynch situation is going to be a distraction throughout the regular season. And what is going to be the maturation process of Russell Wilson? Is he going to get better? Is he going to start being more of an efficient passer? That's something you have to consider, because when you are a Super Bowl winning quarterback, the spotlight is on you, and everybody, including opposing teams, opposing coaches, are going to be scheming the plot against you. How are you going to adjust if you are that quarterback? So that's something that you want to take into consideration. I don't know. I mean, Seattle didn't do a whole lot this offseason to say, okay, we're going to be Super Bowl champions again. I don't see that happening. I got them barely missing the playoffs, actually. Now, I think they can compete for a wild card spot, but I don't see them beating San Francisco in the NFC East, because I just think that San Francisco went out and made moves. They went out and picked up some guys. I think here's what they went out and did, okay? They brought back Anquan Boldin. They brought back Mario Manningham. They brought back Kasim Osgood. They brought back Eric Wright, Terrell Brown, Terrence Cox, some of the other cornerbacks, Jonathan Goodwin, their center. They went out and they brought in Antoine Bethea from Indianapolis. They brought in Chris Cook. They brought in Blaine Gabbert to be a backup, and that's all he's ever going to do. They brought in Jonathan Martin. Say what you want about him, but Jonathan Martin can't be a good offensive lineman. He actually played for Jim Harbaugh at the University of Stanford, so that's something that can help him out. Brandon Lloyd returns to the team after having – well, Brandon Lloyd, about a decade ago, was a very talented receiver and made a ton of one-handed catches. That's what he was best known for, and he did a lot of that with San Francisco. Stevie Johnson, they brought him over as a quick speed receiver from Buffalo. I think that's something that's going to help them out a lot. I apologize. Eric Wright actually retired just a couple months ago, so they don't have him no more. They don't have Carlos Rogers. He moved downstate to Oakland. well, he moved across the state to Oakland, I should say. But I think some of the moves that they brought in, their offense, to me, is going to open things up a little bit. And here's the thing. Drafting Carlos Hyde, drafting Jimmy Ward, Marcus Martin, Chris Borland, and some of the other guys that they brought in, I think they went out and they did some things. They had a lot of draft picks this year, a lot of them. Not to say that all these guys are going to make the roster, but I think that they went out and did some things. I mean, they went out and made a ton of draft trades, and I think that's something that's going to help them out quite a bit. So that being said, I think San Francisco's offense is going to be even better. And if Colin Kaepernick can continue to play and develop himself and be more of an efficient passer, San Francisco's offense can be a little bit more explosive than what we've seen in recent years. That being said, Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, Michael Crabtree are going to have to continue to step their games up. It's as simple as that. And I think they can do it. I certainly think they can do it. I actually believe in them. Believe it or not, originally I picked San Francisco to come out of the NFC and win the Super Bowl. Actually, I got San Francisco or Detroit or New Orleans coming out of the NFC because I think the window is starting to close on Drew Brees and company a little bit. I think that they're not going to have that many more opportunities to compete for the Super Bowls. But Drew Brees and Sean Payton together is almost on that same equivalent as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick together because you spent a lot of time around each other, and as long as you keep the head coach and the quarterback intact, you always have a chance to compete. But I think I do have the Saints winning the NFC South. I got them going 11-5. I got San Francisco going 11-5. But I think that in this case, it's going to be tough between who is going to do this and who is going to do that. Now, going back to the NFC South real quick, because I think that's going to be such a competitive division as far as, like, the four teams going up against each other. I don't think anybody is going to sweep anybody. Look at it this way. I think home field is going to be a tremendous advantage in that division alone. I think St. Louis even can beat all three of their opponents at home. Arizona can beat all three of their opponents at home. San Francisco certainly can do it. Seattle certainly can do it, even though they did lose that one home game to Arizona last year. But I think that in this case, all four teams are very capable of beating each other up. Now, I got St. Louis going 7-9. I think they're going to be a little bit better, but it really comes down to the health of Sam Bradford. And to be honest with you, their level of success really has nothing to do with Michael Sam. It's going to be on that offense because I think that defense is going to be better. That defense could be the second or third best defense in that division. I think they could be number two because I think San Francisco's defense might have taken a step back. The whole Aldon Smith situation and some of the other problems that they've had off the field, even with Colin Kaepernick and Jim Harbaugh, the head coach, to me, it's really going to come down to their offense being more explosive. Somebody is going to have a dominant offense in that division, and I think San Francisco is the team that's capable enough to do it. I don't think Seattle's offense is going to be explosive that much. I don't think Arizona's offense is going to be explosive that much because of the quarterback position. I've never really been sold on Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer only had one good year throughout his entire career. He's never been the same since suffering that injury. If you're Arizona, eventually you're going to have to go into future drafts looking for your future guy to take snaps under center for that franchise because I don't think that guy is there right now. I don't think that guy is on that roster right now. And that's been an issue. That's one of the biggest knocks on the Cardinals since Kurt Warner, pretty much. Here's the thing. Drew Stanton looks efficient. He looks very sharp in the game against the Texans in that preseason blowout last week. And he came over as a free agent, by the way. Could he be the guy? I've never doubted Drew Stanton as a thrower. I always thought that Drew Stanton could throw, going back to the days at Michigan State. But here's the problem. Is he going to get that opportunity? Is he going to have a chance to eventually dethrone Carson Palmer? Or is he going to take snaps if Carson Palmer gets banged up and injured? What's to say? But I think the Cardinals had an okay draft selection. I want to see what Deion Buchanan and Troy Nicholas and Kareem Martin and John Brown, you know, the picks they've had from rounds 1 through 3. I want to see what those guys are going to do. Now, they drafted Logan Thomas out of Virginia Tech, but I don't know much about the guy to say he's going to step in and be the future of the franchise. But can you give an opportunity? Sure. Of course. Why not? I mean, I would give the guy an opportunity, assuming that he's ready. The one thing about the NFL quarterback is you do not want to throw guys into the wolves just yet. To me, out of all the rookie quarterbacks that have been drafted, the one that I feel is 100% NFL ready is Blake Bortles. That doesn't mean he's going to have a tremendous amount of success, but I think he's more ready because of his maturation process, and I think he is ready now because of the situation he's in. He's in Jacksonville, and I like him a lot more than I like Chad Henne. And being a Michigan fan, a football Michigan fan, I never liked Chad Henne at Michigan. I'll be the first to tell you that. I never liked that guy. So with that being in mind, I think in certain cases, he's got a chance to be ready. And I talked about this in last week's show. I think he's ready. So, and here's the thing. If you're in the NFC West, you're going to be going up against the AFC West. That's going to be tough having to deal with the likes of Denver, Kansas City, even though I think they regressed a little bit. San Diego, I think they regressed a little bit. Oakland, I think they got a little bit better with some of the moves that they brought in. Those two divisions can beat each other up. Definitely. Now, I'm looking at Arizona's schedule. I know they won 10 games last year and didn't make the playoffs, but here's the thing. You got to play the Giants on the road. That's not easy for them. They got to play Atlanta on the road. Atlanta's going to have their offense back intact. Well, we'll see by then. That game will be until November the 30th, Thanksgiving weekend. They got a home game against Kansas City. They got a tough road game at Dallas. Say what you want about the Cowboys, but that's going to be tough playing at that stadium. Philadelphia at home, Oakland on the road, Washington at home, Detroit at home. These are going to be some very tough games for this team. Can they win 10 games or more again? Can they do that? I don't know. It's hard to duplicate what you did the year before. Just ask Denver, because I think it's going to be hard for them to do what they did on offense anyway, or win that many amount of games, even though I picked them to win 13 games again, because I think that they did get significantly better, especially on defense during the offseason. But it's never easy. It's one thing to make moves, but it's another to get guys to buy into your system and play well in that system. And, of course, injuries. Something can happen. The David Wilson injury shocked a lot of us because I didn't see that coming. And now his career is practically over. So the point that I'm trying to make is it is never easy with maintaining a full roster without suffering a significant injury amongst anybody on your first team offense or your first team defense. It's tough. It is exceptionally tough. And I talk about this a lot because you just never know. Something can happen. An injury, one major injury can really set back a team. You look at what happened with Tom Brady back in 2008. Week one at home against KC, tore his ACL and his MCL, missed the rest of the year. And it's funny because the Patriots went on to have an 11-5 record. But I think at the same time, if Tom Brady was taking snaps, they probably would have won 13 to 14 games maybe. And probably gotten back to the Super Bowl again. So the point that I'm saying is injuries can play a huge role in team success. And we all know this. We all know that. So we're going to talk more about the NFC coming up as far as like the playoff picture. And I'm going to make my playoff predictions as well here on the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. It's a little bit after 8:30. We're actually approaching 8:40 to be a little bit more exact. We got about 20 more minutes left of airtime. And this is the part, I was going to wait until maybe next week to do this, but I figured now because at this rate, the next time the Rocket Sports Breakdown will be airing, it will be at the end of August. Well, actually the first week of September, leading up to week one. And we're going to have a really, really big show. So I'm going to be planning that. So yours truly will be off the air for the next 2 weeks. So that being said, I wanted to take the opportunity to make my playoff predictions, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I'm going to start with the AFC. I got Denver at number one. I got Pittsburgh as the number two seed, which might surprise a lot of you. But I think with the healthy Ben Roethlisberger, I think with some of the moves that the Steelers have made, I think that they are very capable of getting back to division dominance again. I really do. I honestly do feel that way. I think Ryan Shazier is going to fit well on that defense, along with Stephen Tuitt. Martavis Bryant, that's the one guy to look for as their wide receiver from Clemson. Look out for him. I think he's got a shot to make the roster. I think he's got a chance to do some things. Their schedule is relatively easy if you think about it, though. I mean, they got a tough road game, but I think their home schedule is very favorable. And here's the thing. You got the Colts at home. You got the Saints at home. You got Kansas City at home. Of course, you got your divisional opponents. They don't have to play Denver and New England during the regular season. The only, like, on the road, look at their road schedule, though. At ball, they got road games, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Cleveland, Jets, Tennessee, Atlanta. I mean, most of those games, they should win. I can see them losing maybe two road games or three. I got them losing one road game at Cincinnati. I got them losing at Carolina, and I have them losing a tough road game at Tennessee because Tennessee is capable of shocking some people. But that's a favorable schedule for them, though. If you look at it at home, I mean, besides the division opponents, you got Tampa Bay, Houston, Indianapolis, New Orleans. I mean, other than that New Orleans game, they don't really have that. Or maybe Indianapolis as well. But that's a favorable home schedule, a very favorable home schedule. That's why I have them going 12-4. I think their easy schedule, for the most part, kind of helps things out for them a little bit. So I got them as the number two seed. I have New England has the third seed, and I have Indianapolis as number four. Cincinnati will get in as a wild card at 11-5, and Tennessee will barely make the wild card spot at number six. I think they'll win about maybe 8 or 9 games and get that final wild card spot because even though they don't have Chris Johnson anymore, I still think that with Sean Green, who might be a better option for them at this rate, can certainly come in and help out right away. It's really going to come down to Jake Locker, though. And the reason why I gave Tennessee an 8-8, maybe 9 games, because their schedule is tough, but I think that they can certainly do enough to win 7 or 8 games and possibly come in as a wild card. So that being said, I got them 1-done in the playoffs because they're not going to go to New England and upset them. That would be a shock if that happens. I got the Bengals losing to the Colts in the first round, and I got the Patriots traveling to Pittsburgh. That game could go either way, but I'm going to take New England to win slightly. New England, they've usually had Pittsburgh's number in the postseason anyway. And then the Colts versus the Broncos in a divisional round would be very interesting. And I'm personally picking Denver because I want to see the look on Jim Irsay's face when he loses to his former quarterback. I can't wait to see the look on his face, his drunken self, unfortunately. So bring it on. Bring it on. That's going to be the highly anticipated playoff matchup in the divisional round probably. And then the AFC Championship, I got to go with Denver over New England again, especially if Denver has home field. Definitely. That's going to add some fuel to the fire. You're still going to have Wes Welker against his former team. You're going to have a Aqib Talib against his former team. That's going to be interesting. And I'm pretty sure you're going to put Darrell Revis on Demaryius Thomas, but here's the thing. That's going to open up things for the rest of those offensive weapons. I just don't think New England has enough on the defensive side to contain with Denver's weapons. I just don't think they do. Vince Wilfork, I'm pretty sure he'll be back and healthy, but I don't know. I'm not convinced, especially having to play in Denver. Because best believe, Denver's going to be very motivated after that Super Bowl humiliation to Seattle. No team is going to be more motivated this year than them. Now, moving over to the NFC, like I said, I got Detroit as the number one seed, believe it or not. I got them as the number one seed. I got San Francisco at number two. I got New Orleans at number three. Washington 4. Green Bay 5 as a wild card. Carolina 6 as a wild card, barely. But look out for Philadelphia, Dallas, Seattle, Arizona, maybe even St. Louis or Atlanta to make a run for two wild card spots, possibly. You never know. Who knows? Who knows? Anything can happen in the NFL. But here's what I got in the first round. I got the Saints beating their divisional foe Panthers at the Superdome because it's possible to win games there now. It's such a tough place to play. It's certainly one of the top five most hostile places to play. I got the Redskins beating the Packers. I think that game could go either way because I don't know what Washington is going to look like with the new head coach this year. And that's always going to be like an adjustment situation. But I think bringing in DeSean Jackson is certainly going to help things out. And I'm not sold on Green Bay's defense. I still think, even though they brought in Julius Peppers, but he's at the end of his career, if you ask me. Does he automatically make that defense a whole lot better? No. Absolutely not. So Green Bay's defense can be still a question mark, but can't count out Aaron Rodgers. Eddie Lacy is going to get better. They still got the core of their wide receivers intact. You can't count them out. Not that offense out anyway. You just can't do it. So I got the Redskins winning that game. I got the Saints traveling back to San Francisco like they did a few years ago in the divisional round. And it's going to be deja vu. I got San Francisco winning that matchup. And it might even be more, might not even be that close this time around. But I think that could be an offensive shootout again with just some of the moves that San Francisco made on offense this offseason. And I got the Redskins losing to the Lions. I think the Lions are, keep in mind, the last time Detroit went to the NFC title game, it was against Washington. You won't think that those guys, even though that was a long time ago, but historically, you won't think those guys won't have that wavering over their heads? Think about that for a moment. Just think about that. Historically, former players will come out to motivate this team. Mike Utley, Barry Sanders, Herman Moore, Robert Porcher, all those guys who were part of those teams back then. That's going to be some real serious motivation. Think about that. NFC title game, 49ers-Lions. Originally, I had San Francisco coming out of the NFC. That was before the NFL released their schedule. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, Detroit's got a favorable schedule, kind of. And so does San Francisco a little bit. But they're too good to not get back to the Super Bowl. I would love to pick my hometown team. And I did, but I am a little bit of a homer. I think a lot of us are. We're not ashamed to admit that. So what? The hell with everybody else. But it could go either way, though. That game could be an offensive shootout, too. Ford Field will be rocking. Think about that. It will be so loud. It'll almost be like the Silverdome all over again. Man, me personally, I picked San Francisco originally to come out of NFC. I had San Francisco and Denver for this upcoming season Super Bowl. But boy, if Detroit somehow gets to the NFC title game and they get to host the game, whether they play it on at home or on the road, whether it's against San Francisco or somebody else, I got to pick my hometown team and represent. Because Detroit and Denver are my top two teams by far. By far. But I picked San Francisco because they've come so far to not get there and get it done. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. Okay? And if you're a Lions fan, you're listening to this show, let that register in your mind for a moment. Just let that register for a moment. Because I think that's certainly possible to happen. Boy, talking about this, man, I'm ready for the season to start. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm ready for the season to start. I'm excited. This could be the most anticipated season we've had in a long time. We're not just the draft, but players switching uniforms, new coaches, higher expectations for a lot of teams and players. Can the season start tomorrow? I mean, I'm ready. I am seriously ready. Either way, whichever one of those two teams come out of the NFC and represent the Super Bowl, would there be enough to beat Denver? I think Detroit's offense can pound for pound match up with Denver exceptionally well. Aqib Talib against Calvin Johnson will be a very intriguing matchup. Detroit's secondary against Denver's wideouts will be interesting in its own. Against Detroit's front four against Peyton Manning? Come on now. Who wouldn't want to see that Super Bowl matchup? Well, how about San Francisco? The linebacking corps, the secondary. San Francisco was about one or two plays away from reaching the Super Bowl last year. There's so much to think about. That's why it's so tough to make predictions, because you never know who's going to do what. You never know who's going to come out and just all of a sudden raise expectations to the point where people will say, oh, we got to watch out for that team. We got to look out for that guy. So either way, bring on the noise. It is going to go down. All right? It's going to go down. Period. It's going to go down. Bring it. Bring it. I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, those are my predictions. Whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether you respect them, whether you don't respect them, that's up to you. Make your own predictions. And believe in what you're picking. Believe in who you feel will get to the Super Bowl, will win the Super Bowl, win their divisions, make the playoffs. Don't make the playoffs. Do what you want. Do what you want. Because I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a very interesting season that we have. You're going to have so many teams competing for playoff spots. Somebody's going to be left-handed. Last year, Arizona was one of those teams left-handed. Who's going to be this year? Will Seattle repeat? What is going to be the expectations of Detroit? Will San Francisco finally get over the hump? Will Denver bounce back from last year? What will New England do? What's Pittsburgh going to look like? How's Atlanta's offense going to look now that Roddy White and Julio Jones are going to be healthy? Can the Cowboys bounce back from what's already been a miserable offseason? And what are these draft picks going to do? What rookie is going to really step up this year and dazzle people? That's something to keep your eye on. That in mind, we're going to end it on one more break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to talk more about this play a little bit. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We have come to the end of our show. And as we wrap up, I just wanted to give you all more information as far as the upcoming production, the stage production that yours truly will be taking part in. The play is called Soul Custody, directed, written by none other than the great, talented Vanessa Lynn, who I worked in with the original Boss Lady that we did back in September 2011 at Wayne State. We did three shows September 24th and 25th of that year. Unfortunately, I was one of the guys let go due to cast constraints and time constraints and things like that, just to shorten the length of the play and for her to go in a different direction. But I still always have supported the project. The DVD is out, so if you haven't got a chance to watch it, you can go to Walmart. You can get it just about anywhere now. Walmart, Target, you can purchase it off Amazon.com. You can get it just about in any shopping store that sells electronics, like DVDs and movies and, you know, record players and things like that. Basically, the show, it's kind of a complex story, basically, but it's about a family that's trying to, it's just basically going through so many different things. I don't want to give you too much information, but I will tell you that the production will take place Saturday, August the 30th at the Abundant Life Christian Center, located 25210 Grand River in Redford, which is over there by 7 Mile, I might add. We got two shows, 3 p.m. Tickets are on sale $20 and 7 p.m. at $25. To find out more, you can go to www.soulcustody.info. VIP vendor tables, advertising, group rates, call 313-649-5001. And tickets are also available at God's World in Detroit. The number is 313-862-8220. This show, like all the other shows on the Rocket Sports Breakdown, are always archived. You can always go back and take a listen anytime you need to recollect some information. And on that note, we're going to end the show. You can always check out the replays of the NFL preseason games on the NFL Network. And yours truly will be back in the next 2 weeks, ready for the upcoming. The next time the Rocket Sports Breakdown will be broadcasting, it will be the week leading up to the 2014 season. We're going to preview that Packers and Seahawks game, which will be taking place that Thursday night. Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. Take care of yourselves. See y'all next time.